Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Today, I want to talk about, and this whole week, look at a central theme tied to the title of really the program, Fire on the Earth. It's taken from the scripture where Jesus says, "He come to cast fire on the earth, would that it were already ablaze." And the fire that Jesus has come to cast upon the earth is the fire of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the anointing that was on the life of Jesus himself. Jesus in his person united heaven and earth and in human flesh and the presence and the dwelling place of the Spirit. Heaven was present in an entirely unique way, never to be repeated in that way, in that exact same way. But what we see in Jesus, the Holy Spirit being perfectly united to him in his flesh. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, to obtain sight for the blind, and to announce the year of the Lord's favor." He was fulfilling the Old Testament proclamation of the coming of the Messiah. He is the Messiah. He's the anointed one. And what it means that he's the anointed one is he's the one that's filled with the anointing of God, which is the Holy Spirit. And recent popes have reminded us, and the Catechism of Church teaching is so clear, that in one way to understand the purpose of Jesus' coming, the fundamental, ultimate goal was for Jesus to save us by giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit, by pouring out his anointing, the anointing of the Holy Spirit that was in Jesus in fullness, he pours out upon us. That's why he became a human being, to bring the human race into new relationship with God the Father and a new creation, which meant being born again by water and the Spirit. It's extraordinary. So I want to talk about what it means to walk in and share in the anointing of Jesus Christ. Because everyone who's baptized into Jesus shares in that anointing. And so the Catechism has some spectacular passages that help us see and understand what's communicated to us in the teaching of Jesus and the apostles and the anticipation of the prophets of the Old Testament. But where I'd like to begin is with the apostolic prayer of St. Paul in Ephesians chapter 1. Touched on this a few times over the last few years, but it captures something I think that's so central about what's on the heart of the apostle. When the apostle prayed for you and for me, so to speak, and the people like us in his day, and they're interceding in heaven right now, being united to the Lord, praying on our behalf, I believe the words that Paul is praying for in this apostolic prayer are the same prayers that are being offered up for us today. And the prayer reveals to us the central concern, the great passion of the apostle, and what he wants most for the people that he's shepherding. So I'll read through the passage and we'll circle back and look at some of the key elements of it. This is verse 15, Ephesians chapter 1. "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and your love toward all the saints," he's writing this letter to Ephesus, right? This is a large city that had a very large pagan cult in the midst of it. A lot happening in Ephesus, very, very worldly place. Christians are coming alive there. Some Jewish converts, some Gentile converts. And Paul's writing a letter. He says, "Because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe, according to the working of his great might, which he accomplished in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him sit at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." So it's just an extraordinary passage that captures the range and the depth and the height and the breadth of apostolic vision, the revelation that Paul was given and the understanding through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, probably given, much of it given to him, maybe that very first day he encountered Christ on the road to Damascus. And by God's grace, he beheld the glory of the risen one, and the Lord imparted to him revelation that transformed and changed his life. Now, he's had many experiences throughout his life, but clearly here's Paul praying for the brothers and sisters in Ephesus, and he begins by appealing to the Father, to God, who is what? The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see Paul's clarity that God is a Father, and not only is he a Father, he's the Father of glory, all majesty, power, greatness, holiness, everything, the great renown of God. He's the Father of glory. All glory flows from God the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, is now reigning at the right hand of God the Father in glory. The scripture says, after he died and rose again, he was taken up into glory. And that's partly what Paul is trying to get at here, is to help us understand. And he's praying that the Holy Spirit, who's really the source of truth, the one who comes, is sent by the Son and by the Father to reveal to us the majesty of Jesus and what it means that he's been glorified at the right hand of God the Father. And it's critical as believers to be able to see this. It's transformational. It changes our whole outlook. It's the core of an eternal perspective. And it's the fundamental mystery that has been revealed, that the Holy Spirit has come to make known by opening our hearts to the proclamation of the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's praying, and he says, he prays that our Father, the Father of all glory, would give you a spirit of wisdom so we can understand the ground of reality itself, right? You can understand how God made things, who God is, and to see the wisdom of God and how it's revealed, as Paul will see in different places. The foolishness of God reveals the wisdom. The foolishness of the cross reveals the wisdom of God, what God did in his Son and what's revealed about Jesus on the cross and through his resurrection. A spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. So Paul is praying for a revelation. Part of what the Holy Spirit does, we'll talk about this later this week, is the role of the Holy Spirit is to manifest to everyone who hears the gospel, everyone who opens their heart to the gospel, to manifest and to reveal the glory and majesty of Jesus. And that's what he's praying for, a revelation of Jesus. And then to see Jesus, Jesus said, to see me is to see the Father. And we see and understand the Father through a revelation of the Son, who makes known the Father to us. He said, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. Here he's talking about, right, the seat of decision, the heart, the core of the human person, the place where we meet God. And it's that core, that heart, that was damaged, had fallen as the result of sin, was darkened and could not see, was blinded by the power of sin and death, by the world, the flesh, and the devil. Humanity was literally alienated, strangers to God. Enemies of God, at one point, St. Paul describes, lost, in need of salvation. And so Paul is saying the key thing, and here he's speaking even to believers now, that there's more light to be seen. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you can begin to grasp the depth of the mystery, not only the fact of Jesus' resurrection, but the profound depths of its meaning and its implication for our lives, that you may know the hope to which you were called. So the human heart is enlightened with, we know, faith, hope, and love, the fundamental theological virtues. But here Paul is talking about, first of all, the hope to which he has called you. Friends, we are living at a time when there's great need for a sure hope, a living hope, an unshakable hope. Hope being that confident expectation and the knowledge of our destiny, connected to our identity, connected to our origin, and seeing the hope, the destiny in the person of Christ. And now some people have actually interpreted this as not just the fundamental virtue, theological virtue of hope and what that produces in us, because we know that as Pope Benedict XVI described it, he said, the one who hopes lives differently. You can see in the world today when it's being shaken, dominated by fear, division, anger, you know, fear of death. It's just all over the culture and people are being gripped by it. The Surgeon General just last month said, you know, the United States is facing a mental health crisis, a national mental health crisis among young people. They're disturbed, they're rocked. And what gets revealed is that in times of darkness, tribulation, and difficulty like this, the human spirit, right to the core, is shaken. And if there's not something unshakable that's there, a rock upon which you stand, human beings are subject again to the powers that are in play at a time like this, the powers of sin and death at work. And Paul is saying here that your hearts, the core of your being, the center of your being, would be enlightened. The light of God, the light of God's truth, the mystery of God would be revealed to you, and you would see that hope. And where's that hope revealed? It's in a person. It's in the reality of who Jesus is, what's happened to him, what he's accomplished, what he's brought about, the new creation that's begun in him, and the glorification of human flesh, of humanity, the new Adam, the new creation. So that's the core of the mystery. And then it's understanding, as Paul would say in another place, it's Christ in you then, the hope of glory. You see what you see in Christ, you realize he now dwells in me, and Christ in me is my confidence for entering glory as a part of the central reality of my own destiny. But some interpreters have looked at this as also Paul saying the hope in which he's calling you to, the calling that he's given you, that he's called you to his service. He's called you to, first of all, a calling we all share is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, love your neighbors yourself, and the Great Commission to go make disciples of all nations. There's great hope in these callings because they have a destiny. They lead to fulfillment, that God himself is moving in these areas. And there's particular specific assignments that he's given to us, anointings, callings. You know, when you think about things that where Paul would say later in Ephesians, God has given us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. People are equipped with spiritual gifts. He describes in 1 Corinthians and places, other places, Romans, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit that Jesus bestows on his people, those are sources of great hope because they power us to step into the mission that God has given us to live. I mean, Jesus himself has commissioned us for, And then he goes on to say, and to understand, to have our hearts enlightened so that we see the hope of our calling and the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. So that's, first of all, the saints here are those who are all baptized into Christ. The scripture often refers to those who are disciples of Jesus as the saints, which Paul uses in the beginning of this prayer. He mentions it, you know, he refers to toward all the saints. But it also reveals the full inheritance, the brothers and sisters who have, the saints who were baptized into Christ, who died in Christ, who now have come into the full inheritance that's ours in Jesus Christ. So it's revealed here and now on earth in the men and women who are baptized into Christ and are walking in him and living in the Spirit, and that treasure is unfolding. But it also refers to the saints in heaven and the inheritance that they revealed to us, the full inheritance that they've come into. So I'm going to finish this passage tomorrow, friends, but there's so much here that Paul is praying for you and for me, and it's critical for us to be able to see that God, through the Holy Spirit, wants to enlighten our hearts so we know who we are as sons and daughters of God. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.